Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to go straight into the word. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. As we about to receive it, we pray that it will bless us and bring nourishment to our souls and strengthen us and bring direction to our lives, Lord, that nothing will remain the same. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, I'm going to start a new series entitled the name of the series is Faith is the Key. Faith is the key. Hallelujah. And the little time that we have this morning, I'm going to talk on a little subject entitled Have Faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Tell the person next to you, have faith in God. Have faith. Have faith in God. Mark 11 verse 20, the Bible says, now in the morning, as they passed by, a bit of background, Jesus, many of you might remember the story, Jesus was walking with his disciples the day before this day, and the Bible says he was hungry. Then he saw a fig tree with leaves, and he wanted to go, thinking that he will find fruit in the tree. Now, when he went there, he found no fruit. And the Bible says, he made a statement and he said, let no man eat fruit from you ever again. That is the statement Jesus made when he didn't find fruit in the tree. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says, now in the morning, as they passed by, meaning the next day, Jesus spoke today, and tomorrow, Monday, they are passing by the same place where the fig tree was found. The Bible says when they passed by, they saw the fig tree dry up from the roots. From the roots. Now that is quite interesting because it's not like it took months. This happened within 24 hours. And we could expect the drying up of the leaves. Possibly the drying up of the little branches. But the roots is where the nutrients are coming from. The roots is where the life is springing from. Usually, that is the last thing to dry up. But this tree, the Bible says, the tree dried up from the roots. I want to draw your attention in that statement. Because many a times, the reason why a problem doesn't go away is because it dried, but just the leaves. If you look around right now, you will see that many trees have lost leaves. Leaves have dried. But that in any way doesn't mean the tree is dead. Just a season, as soon as we move to the spring, you will see leaves are going to start coming back. Have faith in God. When you do it with faith in God, things dry from the root. Problems can dry from the root. Every problem has a root cause. Every sickness and disease has a root cause. Every addiction has a root cause. Every difficulty you are facing now has a root. And I can cut the leaves, I can cut the branches, I can even cut the tree, but I didn't finish the problem. The roots are still alive. And as long as the roots are alive, I tell you, it's a matter of time. It just takes a little bit of rain, and then the thing will start coming up again. Coming up again. I don't know about you, but there were times in my life when I thought I dealt with something. I really thought, with the money I've spent on this, with the time I've spent on this, with the energy I put on this, this thing is solved. And then for a few months, it really sounded like now we have the victory. And you don't know how discouraging it is that one day you just wake up and the opponent says, hello, did you miss me? I'm back. I'm trusting God that this month, by His grace, we will learn the key that Jesus used here. Something Jesus didn't want to exist anymore, because when He came across the tree and found that the tree was not doing what He wanted the tree to do, He didn't want that tree to exist anymore. Then He made a statement, and the next day, from the root, the thing had dried. I'm sure there are people here, there are things you don't want to see anymore. There are situations you don't want to see anymore. There are challenges you don't want to see anymore. There are conditions you don't want to see anymore. But they keep coming. Like Lazarus, they keep rising from the dead. By God's grace, we're going to learn this month how to dry things from the root. From the root. From the root. This is the key, people of God. When that addiction is dried from the root, that will be the last month you had that addiction. Oh, yeah. When that condition that you are struggling with is dried from the root, that's the last time. And it is possible to get there, because the Bible says they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. I prophesy here, somebody will see that financial problem dried up from the root. Somebody will see that difficulty in the family that has caused the family to spend money over and over and over and over and over, dried up from the root. Somebody will see that sickness that has drained your finances, drained your mind, dried up from the root. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen, somebody. Dried up. Dried up from the root. From the root. That is where you need a drying from the root. Because then and only then do you have total victory. Or shall I say permanent victory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's push our talk to verse 21. The Bible says, and Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now, when Jesus spoke those words, He didn't say, fig tree, I curse you. So many times you speak curses without realizing you are speaking curses. Jesus just said, let no man ever eat from your tree again. I mean, fruit from you again. Yet that was a curse. That was a curse. That was a curse. So it just makes me think, when I'm opening my mouth and I say to my child, you shall amount to nothing. What have I just done? I've spoken a curse. I have spoken a curse. I mean, I don't need to say I curse you. Because Jesus didn't say, I curse the fig tree. He just said, let no man eat fruit from you again. But Peter interpreted. Peter said, you curse that tree. How many times did I curse my finances? People say this thing loosely. I am more poor than the church mouse. I am so broke. What are you doing? You are cursing your finances. You are cursing your finances. So, when they dry up to the root, don't be surprised. By the grace of God, every curse that you spoke, we're going to learn to undo them. I mean, if you spoke it, you can unspeak it. I say you can unspeak it. If you spoke it, you can unspeak it. You can unspeak it. You can reverse it. Many times I have reversed the things I've said. Yeah. The other day, I don't know where I was. This person, somebody did something. I said, hey, you have finished me. And you know, because I have learned the power of words, immediately the Holy Ghost said to me, what did you just say? You've said the person has finished you. So right in their presence, I said, you cannot finish me. Nothing can finish me. I said, I decree it right there that you cannot finish me. You must learn to reverse the statements. Instantly, don't say, no, I will reverse it at home. No, now. You spoke it now. Reverse it now. I think I'm talking to myself this morning. Reverse it today. Many people are standing or sitting here this morning with a lot of curses you've spoken over yourself. And this morning, God is going to give you grace to undo those curses. Curses you spoke over your children. Curses you spoke over your husband, your wife, your mother-in-law, your daughter-in-law, your cousins, people that mistreated you at school. A lot of curses that we have spoken. But God is going to help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? 22. Peter said to Jesus, the fig tree you cursed has withered away. Like this is surprising. We are not used to things like this. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Oh, I can't hear you, church. I can't hear you. Jesus replied to Peter and says, Peter, what you are surprised about is controlled by this faith in God. Have faith in God. My little talk this morning, like I told you, is have faith in God. Have faith in God. He goes on to say, verse 23, he goes on to say, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever, meaning it can be you, can be you, can be you, can be you, it can be anyone here. There is no like criterias. Are you a human being? You qualify. Many things in this world, you have to be this, you have to be that, you have to be white, you have to be black, you have to be from this family, you have to have that degree, you have to have this. What I love about the Bible, that word, whoever, you find it everywhere. God so loved the word that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him. The things that really matter, God made them available to whoever. 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 No limitations. Whoever says to this mountain. Now, it can mean the mountain literally, but you will agree with me, most of the time, mountains represent challenges. Why? Because a mountain is something that is difficult to climb. Serpents and snakes are known to be found everywhere, including mountains. But I'm told of late that it is not easy to find them on high mountains. Even though you can find snakes in the sea, you can find snakes in the snow. I'm told of late that snakes are found in mountains, yes. But if the mountains are too high, you can't find them. Lidak is surrounded by mountains. Only God knows how many of these mountains has been climbed by us. We see them every day. We leave them where they are. We stay where we are. We don't bother each other. We are all going for the valleys and the plains because mountains are hard to climb. So what is a mountain? A problem that is hard to overcome. What is a mountain? A difficulty that doesn't want to go away. That's a mountain. You are climbing a mountain. And Jesus is giving a key. Jesus says, when you are facing a mountain, don't try to blast the mountain away with grenades. Speak. Whoever says to the mountain. Whoever speaks. Now, go back to the verse I said, have faith in God. 22. So Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Then after he said it, he started explaining what this means. Do you understand? Because they just saw a result and they couldn't believe something like that can happen. I mean, it is a mountainous project to dry a tree to the root in 24 hours. You can't do that easily. So he gave them the key. No, the key is have faith in God. Then he started explaining. But what did Jesus say here? We learn by scholars that the statement of Jesus here was not just have faith in God. The statement of Jesus was have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Are you listening to me? So there is a God has faith. And the faith of God is revealed throughout the Bible. And Jesus was telling the disciples, have the kind of faith that God has. What is the kind of faith that God has? God has a faith that speaks. The faith of God doesn't just think things. The faith of God doesn't just imagine things. The God kind of faith, every time it believes something, it speaks it. When you start speaking the things you believe, you are operating in the God kind of faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the air was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the earth. God had a serious problem, a huge challenge. How will he handle it? God said, let there be light. God didn't try to move angels to go and push the dark. No. That's the God kind of faith. It speaks things. And as it speaks them, it sees them. I'm going to talk about this man. How can I speak things and see them? The God kind of faith. And that is the God kind of faith in verse 23 that he's now explaining to them. Are you listening to me? He's explaining to them how this faith works. So he says, when you are operating with the God kind of faith, when you see a mountain, you don't try to use money to solve the mountain. No. You are operating in the human kind of faith. And they believe that their money can solve the problems. They believe that their connections can solve the problem. They believe that this and this can solve the problem. They don't believe that their words carry power. I said to them, when you have the God kind of faith, you are able to change the course of a history, not by going around the man. You just speak. I shared the story of the man who was working in the lab. And there was acid that they were busy working on. He didn't know. He had gone away. So his colleague poured acid in a cup, thinking that he was going to use it for something else. Then the colleague went inside. You know that you have the lab and you have an office within the lab. So the colleague went inside the office. By the time the colleague was coming out of the office, this guy had returned from lunch and thought that the glass had water. So like everybody does, he randomly took the glass of water and was beginning. The thing entered his mouth. As soon as it entered his mouth, the guy told him, that is acid. The guy was coming from there. I said, hey, don't drink it. It's acid. So the guy says he knew
Because even just one drop enters, you are gone. So he knew that now I'm between life and death. Like right now where I'm standing here, I'm between life and death. So he remembered the teaching of his pastor. So he put the thing down. He said, this is not acid, it is water. You are not hearing me. I said, the guy told him, this is acid. He put the thing down and said, this is not acid, it is water. And that was it. That was it. The guy said to him, I'm going to prove you that it is acid. We are working together here. I will show to you now that it is acid. He took, actually they're in the lab. He took a sample from the thing. First of all, he's shocked that the guy hasn't died. He took a sample, put it in the microscope, H2O. It shows water. He says, no, this is not possible. This is not what? He goes to the big jar where he has taken the acid to pour in the cup. He said, this is what I took and I pour in this glass. So let's take a sample from this one. As soon as he put in the lab, he said, acid, 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 acid. So in the picture, you know what is a picture? A vase. You must learn to use different English words. You can't just use the same way. You're using the same English words. Are you not tired of using the same? A picture, a picture, a picture. Not a picture, a picture, picture. P-I-T-C-H-E-R. So in the big vase, it is acid. But in the cup, it has become water. What did that? The word he spoke over the acid. So he said, this is not acid. It is water. And it became water. It became water. Now, try to solve that problem with money. Before we come down the library, you are dead. While we are trying to call people to come and help, we are already dead. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You will say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. That is very impossible. I mean, even a molehill. Can you ask a molehill? You carry a molehill to put in the sea? Not to talk of a mountain. He's not talking about a hill. There are mole hills, there are hills, there are mole hills, there are mounds, and there are mountains. What you are seeing here, these are not mountains. These are hills. If these are mountains, what is Everest? What is Kilimanjaro? Are you with me? These are just hills. But Jesus was saying, look at Everest. Look at Kilimanjaro. He said, you can stand here he was doing an analogy to say that this is how you solve a challenge. It's a challenge way bigger than you, more complicated than you can imagine. You don't try to solve it by going to get a TLB and to start moving. You are using a TLB to move the soil. No, you will be there forever. And that is why some of us are in the problem forever. You are receiving the God kind of faith. Amen. I say you are receiving the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith speaks what it believes. If you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, you will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. Not whatever you work for. not whatever you negotiate for, not whatever you work so hard for. People get things by speaking them, and people lose things by unspeaking them. That is how life is. Many things have left your life because you said so. Don't want to repeat the story of my wife colleague that we buried a few years ago. And a couple of weeks later, God told me he died. He killed himself. I said, no, this guy, he died of cancer. And God told me, no, he killed himself. I said, no, he died of cancer. We have the proof. He killed himself. He said, how did he kill himself? Because you remember, he kept saying, that movie is killing me. Ah, she just killed me. He said, he killed me. That guy could not say 3 sentences without talking about death. And we buried him. We buried him. You will have whatever you say. And this is not just for bad things. You can learn to use this for good things. That's why you must learn to say things. I am blessed. I am healed. I am successful. I've always said, who will arrest you for saying you are blessed? It's people will not say it. How are you? Well, I'm okay. I'm good. What stops you from saying I am blessed? What stops you from saying when they ask you, how are you? I'm successful. From today, add to your vocabulary. Add to it. Whenever pastor preaches something here and you believe it, start speaking it. Don't just believe it. It doesn't have power until you start speaking it. You can believe a lot of nice things, but they will not work. You have to speak. I say you have to speak. Don't just believe that the blood of Jesus, you must speak the blood of Jesus. Don't just believe that demons will be cast if you cast them. No, you must cast them, that you must speak. We call that the God kind of faith. It is the faith that speaks things. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. So you find it in the book of 2 Corinthians 4:13. The Bible says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So that's the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith speaks what it believes. You have to learn to speak it. If you believe that God is going to bless you with a job, speak it. If you believe that God is going to give you a promotion, speak it. Like you release the power of the faith when you speak, not just when you believe. No. You speak. You speak it. You say it. You confess it. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. You must look at your mukoko and say, this mukoko is a double-story house. This mukoko is a double-story house. I am thanking God that I have a double. I have some of you that you are trusting God for a land. You don't just trust God in your heart. Oh, Lord, I'm trusting you a land. No, you must say, I own land in Lidak. I have the stand card in my wallet. I have the stand card in my house. In my file, there's a stand card, and it's got my name on it, and it's got a stand number on it, and it is a stand card of a stand that I own in Lidak. Hallelujah! That is how you get things done. You speak them. How did God change things? The word, by speaking the word. He spoke it. And Jesus told it. How did Jesus draw the tree? By speaking. How will you move mountains? By speaking. You have to learn to speak. You must become good at speaking. Bishop Oedipo tells the story of a woman in his church. That was one day some women went and did some juju against her, and then they prepared themselves. So she was going to the market, and then 3 women appear. And then there are mad women that are walking on the other side. she appeared and said, go join them. Do you understand what I mean? Like, she's going to the market. A woman comes from nowhere, sees other mad women that are moving there. She says to this woman, go join them. Because the woman knew the power of which, she said, no, you go join them. And the woman became mad instantly and went and joined them. This is, you are learning to control power from your mouth. They said, no, you go join them. Go join them. She said, no, you go join them. Immediately, the woman became mad and went and joined them. Do you know how many things have remained because you are not speaking? In your house, rats that are not rats. My God. They open pots. How can a rat open a pot? And everybody just say, hey, these rats, you are not speaking yet. You are rather complaining. And complaining will keep empowering the rats. They will be empowered. You must wake up and say, every rat in this house, you die now. You speak. Oh, I think maybe this is, but you see, this is why I'm taking you by the grace of God. This man, by the grace of God, you will become a man of faith. You'll become a woman of faith. You will learn to speak things into existence. My son, Shepherd Lawrence, went to pray for a woman. The woman was complaining about the leg. He prayed for the woman. As soon as he finished praying for the woman, his leg became painful. By the time he reached his house, he couldn't use the leg again. His leg. He prayed for the woman for the leg. And the same leg, the right leg, he prayed for the woman on the right leg. His right leg wouldn't work again. It got worse. The next day, he trolled to the road like this. He's waiting for the taxi. As he's waiting for the taxi arrives. He got in the taxi. As soon as they drive a few minutes, he sees the woman he prayed for yesterday. She was also waiting for the taxi. So she entered the taxi. He said, ah, Muruti, I slept last night like a baby. All the pain that was in the leg is gone. Muruti, you are powerful. Then Shepalore said, this woman, he didn't understand. The pain that left her is now in my leg here. And he couldn't say anything to the woman. He went, came back. He's in there by his workplace. One of the guys that led him to that woman came to see him. The guy said, yo, that woman is so happy. She says, your prayers have worked. Then he said, can I tell you something? That woman, her pain has entered my leg. Then he said, at that moment, he remembered that so this pain is not normal. It's a spiritual pain. I can use rub on it, it will not go away. So he said, he put the hand on the leg. He said, pain, go now. Then he says, instantly, the pain lifted.
Until today.
These are testimonies of what God is doing in our midst. Are you with me, church? Learn to speak. Learn to speak. Speak over yourself. Yourself will not grow. You don't understand. If you don't start speaking, there are 10 people sitting here. They are full of the Holy Spirit. They are on fire. I have another cell there. If you don't start speaking, you are just there. You are looking at things. Days will come and go. Days will come and go. Nothing will change. It is your words that create your world. Speak what you want to see. He says, we believe, therefore, we speak. We speak. Are you with me? Yes. I'm asking, are you with me? Yes. All right. So, a lot of things are not in our life because we're not speaking them.
And we are not speaking them because we don't believe them. That is where I'm going. You have to have it. Because, you know, you can't just go and start speaking. It works when you believe. It works when you believe. To have faith in God, number one, is to believe that God exists. That is where this whole thing starts. I gotta believe that Modimo is not just some idea that a wild man came to dump on us. I tell you, the way some white people hate black people, if God was white, they were never going to show us God. You should know that. Now, you should know very well that if really God was white, you were never going to know. I mean, just small things here, small secrets, they don't show you. They show you God. The mere fact that God used them to write about him and distribute is a proof to you that God is not white. They too need him the way you need him. That's what you should know. But we are sitting here today, and the question is, does God even exist? Pastor, I should start speaking things on the basis of what? Hebrews 11, 6. Look at where faith begins. Without faith, it is, come on, impossible to please God. God is not pleased by tears. God is not pleased by many of the things that we do. God is pleased by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. What that means is, without faith, it is impossible to move God. Without faith, it is impossible to get God to help you. That's what it means. And whenever you have faith, God is readily available to assist you. Now, how does it work? Because he who comes to God, look at it. He who comes to God, NIV, please, NIV. Check my scripture as well. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. It starts there. You must believe that God exists. How do you know? That's faith. Faith is, I don't see God, but I believe he exists. I don't see God, but I believe he hears my prayers. I don't see God, but I believe when I give an offering, he receives it. I don't see God, but I believe the Bible is his word. He must believe that God exists. Are you with me? This is where your journey with faith begins, though. That you have to first believe that God exists. Not everybody believes that God exists. You know that. If you go to Europe now, it's pathetic. They gave us the gospel, then they rejected the gospel. And that thing is slowly entering South Africa. Slowly but surely. I don't know if 15 years from now, we'll have a lot of people that will preach even the way I'm preaching right now. Because that every year, more and more convictions are coming on people. God doesn't exist.
We make scientific discoveries that are supposed to show us that God exists, but then we turn it again to say, no, I mean, it's just a scientific equation, this and this and this and this. There's no God. You check the South African system, educational system. Slowly but surely, are becoming America. Slowly but surely. It's changing every year. Agree, we are copying America. America took the Bibles out of schools. America has introduced new age teaching to the students. They are telling the students, no, you are not really a male. You decide. You decide, like you choose which one you want. I'm telling you things that are happening in life. People don't believe that God exists. We trust medicine. We trust science. We trust other things. Psalm 14 verse 1. But God has given a name to all those people. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Anyone that says there's no God, I didn't say it. The Bible tells us who you are. Only a fool will say there is no God. Now, watch it. He might never say it with his mouth. He says it where? In his heart. In his heart. So many of us can be sitting here today, but you've never ever said there's no God. But the things that their heart have been thinking about, conceiving and imagining, it's like, no, there's no God. This is just life. Why do people believe there's no God? It's the work of Satan in their hearts. Satan is working on people. Satan hates God. Yeah. There's a video I watched yesterday that I asked myself, are we still in the same world? The thing Satan is making human beings do out of his hatred towards God, you can't believe it. I think about a year two ago, I watched a video. I think it's on YouTube. This is a male that has decided to metamorphose into a snake. And he's been working on himself to become a snake. His face, he has done, I think, about 100 plastic surgery for his face to look like a snake. He has done tattoos of scales in his whole body. They are doing a job on his tongue to become like the tongue of a snake. Sometimes I thank God we are in Lidak. Because some of the things I'm talking about, you are like, I thank God that we are here. You don't even know those things. Like you want God to take you to the city. You want God. You don't understand. The things you will find. I don't know. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. So Satan makes people to not believe in God. He does. He does. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says, I'm going to go very fast. We are almost at the end. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That they can't see it. Bishop, Muruti, Pope can preach. They don't say anything. Why? The God of this age has blinded their minds. They can't see. They can't see. Something obvious they can't see. The work of demons. Number two, the work of witchcraft also makes people to to not believe in God. Yes, I mean, you will agree with me. Most of us just got introduced to God. Our forefathers were trusting witchcraft. And every family that witchcraft is exalted, you will see that that family struggle to believe in God. It takes a lot of work for people in that family to actually turn to God, because they turn to gods. I'm not offending anybody. I'm just making you aware why we struggle to believe in God. I'm on that point. Because it says you must believe that he exists. But what makes us to not believe that God exists? Number one, Satan will cause you to not believe that God exists. He will work on your mind. He will use movies. He will use music. He will use people. He will use friends. He will use different things. But by the time he is done, you will not believe that God exists. And a lot of young people of this age are caught up into this thing. Their faith is in everything except in God. Except in God. Don't believe that God exists. They are told that man came from a monkey. Their parents don't go to church. Sunday is braai and more shopping. So when will they ever have any connection with God? When? These children that we have given birth to, if we must just pray that God doesn't exist. But because if God exists, the way we have presented them is as if we are saying God doesn't exist. We have sacrificed them to hell. You have given birth to children and you have never taken them to church. You have never shown them the way of eternal life. What? I'm just pray that God doesn't exist. But he does. He does. Therefore, you have sacrificed your children. You have sacrificed your children. The work of witchcraft. Number three. The double worship of God and ancestors. You see that thing? Where we worship God, but we also worship ancestors. It causes us to not really believe in the existence of God. 1 Kings 18 verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said what? Nothing. And that is how we are. We want both. Modimo and Badimo. We want both. But Jesus says, a man cannot serve two masters. He will love one and despise the other. And naturally, we are inclined to flow with what we see. Because you can't see God, chances of you being totally devoted to him, as you compare to another thing that you are seeing, the beats, you are seeing this, you are seeing, you will be more trusting towards what you see. Which means you will stop believing in the existence of God with time. With time. I think I should stop this teaching. This is why people don't believe in God. The work of Satan. The presence of witchcraft. Number three, the double worship of God and ancestors. Number four, the lack of hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, Romans 10:17, please. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, you cannot have faith if you are not hearing the word of God constantly. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yet, faith comes by hearing
the word of God. So like this morning, as I'm teaching the word of God, faith will start building in you. You start believing, oh, there's God. There's a God in heaven. I must believe in God. You see, because you are hearing the word. So the less you hear the word, the less faith you will have. That is the whole idea of Satan taking men away from church. The whole idea of Satan taking women away from church. So that they don't hear the word. Because when you hear the word, you start changing. It affects you. It changes you. It changes you. You change by hearing the word. You change. Many studies have been done of children that attended church when they were growing up and children that didn't attend church when they were growing up. Most of the people that you see in prison causing all kinds of problems in society came from families where people were never listening to the word of God. I'm saying studies have been done about it clear. Clear. Just hearing the word every Sunday has an impact over the life of a person. A huge impact. And not hearing that word Sunday after Sunday, your heart hardens. It becomes hard and hard and hard and hard. Now we produce these children that will just wake up like what happened last week in England. A child, just when the children were having a little party, a child of, I think, 12 years came there with a knife, stabbed about six of them, killed them, six. The whole community is shaken. People are asking, where is this coming from? That's a lack of the word in people. When you take the word away from people, people become demons. And when you take the word away from yourself, you will not believe what you will become. It's a matter of time. You will ask yourself, is this me? Is this still me doing what I'm doing now? You'll change. You will become something else. The word of God was meant by God to affect the heart of man, to change the heart of man, to cause faith to start building in the heart of man. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lastly, as I close, the last reason why people don't believe in the existence of God is a final one. They actually suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. They don't want to admit that this is actually true. God exists. Because they know the implication of accepting that God exists. They suppress the truth. Romans, we're going to close here. 1 verse 18. The wrath. From 18, please, if you don't mind. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They suppress the truth. What does it mean to suppress the truth? You know it, but you suppress it. You know that this thing is true, but you don't want to accept it. Like you are just making like you don't know. Meanwhile, you know. Meanwhile, you know. They suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. Verse 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. It's plain. Because God has made it plain to them. Brother, you just need to look at National Geography. Don't even look far. Look at National Geography. You will see there must be a God somewhere that created this whole thing. There's no way that these things can just exist by themselves. There's no way. Man, look at nature. Look around you. God made it plain. Plain. You can see.
there. Everywhere you look,
God created everything.
You look at the sea, the species in the sea, the creatures that are there. You mean to say they just came? My God, what do we have in this world that just came? Anything in your house was brought in, but you are saying that the fish in the sea just came.
No, God made it plain to all of us. Verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen.
I mean, even though he is invisible, he used creation to make it plain to us. Being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. Brothers and sisters, you will never stand before God one day and say, I didn't know you exist. I wasn't sure. No, my friend. Creation itself, every day, keeps telling you, there must be a God in that heaven. There must be a God somewhere that created everything that you are seeing around you. There must be a God. You can do whatever you want. You can suppress the truth. You can behave as if there's nothing, but it is there. It is staring at your face every day. You look at the plants. They stare at you every day. I think there's a plant they call queen something. My God. This plant wakes up at night. It wakes up. It behaves like a person. If you look at what is around you, you want to tell me there's nobody who created it. It just came by itself. Men are without excuse. So I want to tell you this morning, church, God exists. How do you say God exists in Tswana? Modimo Ote. In Zulu, Nkulumkulu Khona. God is around you. And he did something magnificent. 2,000 years ago, he came down here. He walked among us. He ate our food. Spoke to us. I heard that there are more evidences that Jesus Christ existed than there are that Julius Caesar existed. So you cannot tell me, no, Jesus was just a history figure. There are more proofs that Jesus existed than there are proofs that Julius Caesar existed. Jesus Christ was not just any man. Jesus Christ is God. God came and dwelt among us, full of glory. He lived here. And he introduced God to us. He reached out to us. Praise the Lord. And this morning, my message is simple. Have faith in God. I want to end my verse. Can I end my verse? Verse 21. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. You see, I can know that God exists, but that is not all God wants. God wants you to glorify him. When you know that he exists, what do you do about it? Now that you know he exists, What are you going to do about it? Those that knew that God existed, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. They lived their lives as if they created themselves. Everything they have came from themselves, from their hard labor. Never gave thanks to God. Lord, I thank you that I'm alive today. Lord, I thank you that you woke me up this morning. Lord, I thank you that I have a job. Lord, I thank you that I have my organs are working well. Lord, I thank you that my eyes can see. Lord, I thank you that my liver is not broken. I mean, you didn't create a liver, but the liver is working. Another person is in the hospital for 2 months because of the liver. You have a liver that is working, and you can't say thank you to God. They neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. Why? Because as far as they are concerned, he didn't do anything. Yeah, no, there's a God. There's a God there. So, no, if there's a God, we must glorify him. We must live our lives for his glory. That we must show that we believe in him. And that is what we are trying to do in this church. We are trying to say to you, if you believe that God exists, if you believe that God is real, let it be shown by your actions. Let it be shown by how you live your life. Let it be shown. Can I end by telling you this? If I believe that God exists, then I believe that heaven exists. Therefore, I believe that when people die, either they go to hell or they go to heaven. Therefore, the question becomes, when I die, where will I go? Where will I go? If God exists, therefore heaven exists. Therefore hell exists. And now when I die, where will I go? Pastor, I don't want to think about such things. I'm too young. I don't want to think about such things. You are depressing me. I don't want to think about such things. I'm still trying to get my life in order. I don't want to think about such things. You are making a mistake, my brother. Because the last time I checked, nobody knows the day of their death. Do you know the day of your death? Nobody knows the day they're going to die. Nobody has any clue. We all believe we're going to live. But nobody knows exactly. You know, as we are here, heaven knows the exact date of the death of everybody here. As we are sitting here coolly, there's an information about you. Every time you wake up, you're moving. You're moving. And there are people who know just few more, whatever, either months or weeks or years. But the exact day is known. It becomes known to you and me the day it happens. But they always knew that day. They always knew that day. And you are here this morning. This is the funny thing about humans. We bury people. Even yesterday, we buried people. But we don't learn. We bury, we don't learn. We bury, we don't learn. Why? Because the God of this age has blinded the minds of the people. They can't see. They can't see. I'm ending with the story that I've shared many times in this church. These tourists went to Egypt. And they decided to go where the rare camels, where they raise camels. So they were studying the camels, how the camels are born, how they live. But they said, you know, before you go, we also want to show you where we kill camels. They took them to another place. And there, found a lot of blood everywhere. Because that is where they kill camels. Then the man who was giving them the tour said, you know, the most shocking things about this is that whenever we are killing a camel, the other camels are watching. They watch, but they don't learn. When it's their turn, they just follow us. They never resist. They know very well that once we are taking you there, you are not coming back. And they've observed us kill their brothers every day, but they don't learn. Come and pick one, they just...
human beings don't learn. Even though we see it every day, we don't want to learn. But the Bible says, at least when you come to the house of God, you gain understanding. Some of you are gaining understanding this morning. That, you know what? I think I need to get my life in order. If I really believe that God exists, if I know God, am I glorifying God? Is my life glorifying God? Can we stand on our feet this morning, please? Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you guys for giving me your ears to share God's holy word with you. This whole month, by God's grace, I will be teaching on faith in God. Believe God. And this morning we're talking about to believe in God, you must first believe He exists. And what are some of the things that cause us to not believe He exists? I gave about 5 or 6 of them. And there could be more. I don't know which one Satan is using against you to make you to not believe that God exists, despite everything you are seeing. But I pray that for somebody here this morning, it will be the start of your faith in God. I will become one of those people who say, no, I believe in God. I believe in God. Yes. Can I tell you something as I close? I don't say our ancestors don't exist. No. Even from the Bible, we are taught how things work. Nobody created themselves. We have a history. There are people that were here before you got here. And the Bible teaches us to honor them, but not to worship them. We honor our ancestors for the work they've done in causing us to exist. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for their efforts. But we don't worship them. We worship God. The problem begins when instead of worshiping God, we turn to them for help. That's where we're having a problem. God is our helper, but we are turning to the Bademos for help. And that is where we start having problems with God. Oh, Pastor, so you are saying, we must, no, I'm not saying you should erase the memory of your ancestors. Then your memory will be erased as well. No. If you read your Bible, you will see the God, the son of this, 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 the son of this. Like we can, in fact, that is what helps us to know, to understand you, where you are coming from. That's the genealogy. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem begins when instead of honoring them for what they did, because tomorrow you will also be an ancestor. And I don't think you want people to say, no, my ancestors were bad people, this and this. No. You want them to have a good memory of you. That came from God. God wants us to honor our fathers. But God doesn't want us to worship our fathers. God wants us to worship Him and Him alone. Him alone deserves our glory. Him alone deserves our worship. Him alone deserves everything that we have to offer. Can I get an amen from somebody here this morning? Only God. Only God. As I close, can we close our eyes and bow our heads, please? If you are in this place this morning, and you are saying, Pastor, I've known that God exists, but I don't think I've glorified God. I've lived my life on my own terms. I've never really glorified God with my life. And this morning, I want to make a decision to say, God exists, therefore, I will worship Him. I will glorify Him with my life. I'm going to count up to 3. If you are saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that many of us have prayed before. That prayer will help you to commit your life to Jesus. Pastor, I want God in my life. I believe in Jesus. God's only son. And I want to give my life to him this morning. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. Pastor will pray with you. One. Two. Three. Raise your right hand. Pastor, pray for me. I want to believe in God. God bless you. I see your hand. If you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to believe in God. I want God in my life. Yes. Thank you so much. You can take your hand down. Now, you are also here. You are already born again. But this morning, you want to recommit yourself to God. You want him to rule and reign over your life. At the count of three, you can also raise your right hand. Pastor, pray with me. I want to recommit my life to God today. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. God bless you. 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 Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. I'm going to do one last call. Because I don't know when I will see you again. And you don't know when you will see me again. Jesus brought this moment for you. This is your moment. The decisions you are making this morning will affect your life in all eternity. This is your chance. Does God exist? Is there a God? And if there's a God, what am I going to do about it? Don't push you tomorrow, my brother. Don't push you next week, my sister. You only have today. You are only sure of today. Today like this. This is today. You have today. You can decide now. I give my life to Jesus. I surrender to him. I believe in God and I will glorify him with my life from today. I'm going to give one last call before I pray for the people. If you want me to pray with you, you want me to include you in that prayer. When I say three, just raise your right hand. Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus in my life. I want God. I believe in God. I want him in my life. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Now, we're going to pray together. I have seen the hands of the people that have raised. I'm not going to call you to the front because of the nature of the service this morning. But let's pray together. Are you ready? Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. This morning, I believe you are the Son of God. You died for me. I believe you exist. You are my Savior. You died for me and you rose from the dead to justify me. This morning, I open my heart. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Rule over my life. Take full control. I surrender to you today. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.